Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here are our assignments from over the weekend. What possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. And then on Saturday, self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this process focus? Write down the self-hating messages. Example, why can't you just deal with this? RL, what you're seeing. Note, never record self-hate messages. And then on Sunday, there's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment, what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? Example, the underlying message in why can't you just deal with this is that I'm a cowardly, fearful, spineless human being who deserves what she gets because she doesn't have the guts to stand up for herself. RL, what you see. Reminder, never record any self-hating messages.
Never.
All right. No, we don't. And if we do, we delete them.
Delete them immediately.
Yes. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Who's this?
This is Emil in Hastings in England.
Well, hello, Emil. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing that the self-hating voices say that there's no way that I can participate at all, and that the underlying message is it would be better if this person were not around or didn't exist at all.
Well, that's a clear bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, not very happy.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's not that you can't participate in this or that. It's that you should not participate in life.
Yeah, or there's... No, I don't know for sure. No, it's that I can't... I think it's more of a social thing, actually. Like, maybe it's about participating, or the self-hate is about perceptions of what people think.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so you can't participate here because of that?
No, actually, it has nothing to do with this.
I see. Okay, so in the rest of life.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think of that just before getting on the call. Like, what does it have to do with participating in this or in things in general? Like, I don't think I always get to that bottom line, but I think there's a habitual message that's repeated.
Uh-huh.
That
and
I'm not
the message
aware.
Is, go ahead, that
message
you're not...
is that, there's no way that I can participate or that nobody really would want me to participate.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really
think
that's kind of the message that's there.
Say that line again, Emil.
I don't really have to think much. Like, I don't have to even listen to the message. It's just kind of there.
It's just understood.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm gonna stick with my original guess, which is the bottom line is you should not participate in life. Now, you might be allowed to participate in some ways, accompanied, I would bet, by a lot of self-hating messages. Is that true?
Or maybe I can participate in life without engaging with anybody somehow.
Uh-huh.
In some some other place that's off on its own or something.
Uh-huh. And, Emil, do you sense that there's kind of a collusion going on?
In what way?
That there's an attempt to see a way around this self-hating message, that somehow it's not really that bad. It's not actually global, or it doesn't actually think you ought to kill yourself. It's only in these situations. And that maybe if you could participate from, say, an uninhabited island somewhere, that would be all right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I think with the self-hating, it's taken me a long time to really get to look at the self-hating messages, because I think, you know, the ego has managed to steer me away by saying you don't really want to listen to that, so just don't even look at it. Like, go back to the option of what's possible if you drop the self-hating voices. You know, don't...
Uh-huh.
So it's been kind of one of the best things that only maybe the two times that I've been able to actually get there and look at, you know, and say, wow, that's really hidden.
Yes, it's hidden, and it's operating all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that is a particularly fiendish approach, isn't it? Don't look at that. Don't explore that. No. That's too upsetting. That's too depressing. Look at something else. And in the meantime, I, self-hate, will just go right on controlling your life experience.
Yeah, and I think if it even came through that it was depressing or something, then maybe I would notice. But instead, it's just like, oh, yeah, that, you know, you don't need to look at that.
Uh-huh. And by the way, no, don't do that. No, don't go there. No. You were invited to that, but really nobody wants you there. So, no, don't go to that. People are doing that, but no, you can't. They want you there.
Right. That's more of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as we're fond of saying, that is all very good to see, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely good to see. Thank you.
Yeah, because the only thing, and it's an imaginary thing, but it seems real to us, the only thing that doesn't want you there is ego.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that gives ego a clear field to be in charge of your life.
Yeah, absolutely right, yeah.
However, you have now seen it. And so it's not going to be nearly as easy for ego to fool you as it has been in the past.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing how it leads me down various trails, and then I'm kind of there. Like, it has many ways to kind of trap me.
That's right.
One kind of pulled me.
That's right. And awareness practice is learning to see all of those clearly so that we don't get fooled anymore. Not that we want to be in relationship with for the rest of our life. No. Quite the contrary. We want to see them so that we can cut them off.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the self-hating voices is an important part of that, of sort of seeing the point, of not...
Yep. Absolutely.
Not letting it keep being there underneath somewhere.
That's exactly right. So let me say this, Emil. Thank you for participating with us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm glad I'm
happy
here.
To have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, good to be here. Thank you, and Ashwini and everyone.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Emil. It's so important, right, Cherry, to stay with it till we can see what the message is, to see the actual information coded in whatever the pattern is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can't see the absurdity of it.
Because that's
it
right.
Because it says it directly. Because if it's said, you know, nobody wants you to participate, it kind of, you go, really? But if
nobody?
Nobody? Yeah. Yeah, but if it's subtly coded, then you just don't sense that, right?
That's right. And the underlining the piece about we really do want to see and hear it. What happens, what that system often does to people who practice is people get to this point of saying, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I'll just direct my attention to presence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that lasts about 3 seconds, mm-hmm. and then the system just is right back in place. So mm-hmm. we want to be really clear about what it is that we are tossing out of our lives so that it stays tossed out, not right. so that we know what the right answer is, choose that right answer for a few seconds, and then go right back into the soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what you're pointing to is something we've looked at a couple of times previously, that there's a way in which there are places when we want to redirect the attention, when we know that the
That's
voices
right.
have nothing left to teach us. But there are That's places right. of suffering that we have to go through in order to transcend. And those
yes.
places we need to look at.
Yep. If we're not yeah. clear about them, they've got us.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're unexplored and unexamined.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And therefore in charge.
That's right. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here in Kent.
Well, aren't we blessed this morning?
We are. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
Yeah, great. What
yeah.
are you seeing, Colin?
Well, I've been looking at my participation in practice, and because that was it's been perhaps not how it usually is at the moment, and so I've been looking at that, and just seeing that there are these. It's like there are these prerequisites to practice that I have to meet before I can participate.
Mm-hmm.
That,
a list that ego offers you. Now, have you ticked off that one and that one and that one? Okay, you can participate. Oh, you missed that one? No, you can't participate.
That's right, and I'm putting, you know, my time and energy into ticking these things off the list so that, you know, I will be able to participate. And, of course, it's not. Not actually participating on trying to meet the standard or giving up and sort of just throwing in the towel and not bothering at all. So really when I actually step back and look, I am participating in practice, but it's just this story telling, you know, this whole weight of conditioning telling me how terrible it is. And I've got my little notebook here, and I'm really you know, doing the exercises, I've noticed that this month it's all really neatly written out, I'm putting a lot of time into that to do the exercises, but I haven't been able to get on the morning call. So I am participating, but not in the way
yes.
that ego says
well,
I should.
That's right, which you never will, right? You will never meet ego standards. None of us ever will meet ego standards. And it holds in place this really nasty, nasty belief that most of us fall for. And that is, exactly as you are is not okay. Right? So there are three things on that little ego list, and you haven't done any of them. You still get to participate.
That's right. Yes, this thing about not sort of not being enough, or I'm not enough, or there's not enough time, or there's all not enough, and I've lost it now. It's gone now.
Well, it's just what it comes down to is, you know, people will do that thing of, you know, I can't. I can't put myself in the queue if I haven't prepared, if I haven't done the exercises, if I haven't, okay, which all feeds that same thing, that same belief that if you just hit start six or whatever, however the heck that goes, I'm always on the other side of this, and you haven't thought a single second about what you're going to say, perfect. That's perfect. Then you get to just be you in the moment. And that's the thing ego is terrified of us doing, because you will find out that it's actually you, that human being we call Colin, who is everything.
Yes, yes. So I nearly did get caught with that today. So I was quite upset, but just hitting star six and. Yeah, absolutely. But just even like in small ways, like things like, oh, I can't meditate because I feel too tired, or because my back hurts, or there are all these little things that have to be, and I was just looking at that, seeing all these different sort of barriers really that ego puts up to participating in practice in all sorts of different levels that, you know. Oh, I don't know. Lots of different ways. Just some. Oh, you haven't got the right. Oh, I don't know. There's something wrong. There's something not quite right. So you can't be there. And
And Colin, what you're describing. So we know we refer to this what you're describing as egocentric karmic conditioning self hate. Right? And what you're describing is all the conditions that ego is constantly putting on people to keep people from just being present. Right? So you can't do that. You can't meditate because your back hurts. Or you can't do that because of that. You can't do that because you can't go there because of that. You can't feel that because of that. And those are all conditions, right? So it's a perfect clarity about how conditions operate and why we are practicing to be in the unconditional.
Yes, I'm just sort of seeing that all before me now, but it must be going on. It's happening all the time, isn't it? In every
it's happening all the time to all of us. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
It's just how it works.
Yeah.
You can't be happy because. That's the biggest one, right? You can't feel good because. And there's the condition. If you don't meet that condition, then, well, I'm sorry. You just can't feel good. You just can't be happy. And it's a fraud.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose that thing... I can't be happy because that's something perhaps that I saw, you know, early on in practice. But I'm just sort of looking at it now and think, oh yeah, that's sort of still playing out really, that I'm getting caught up in a story that, oh, you know, I haven't got the energy to participate, or I'm too tired, right. Or there's all these different little things all the time. I've just got to fix that, and then
that's right.
And then all
that's
the
right.
time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
so we see it, and then we get to see it everywhere, right? We get the principle, and then we begin to realize the broad application, the constant application. Yeah. Well, that's very good. Thank you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. It's lovely to be on the show today. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to everybody. Really appreciate it. Lovely to be here. Thank you.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. It's exactly that. Lovely to be here. Right, Cherry? Because there's no conditions for that.
That's exactly right. As soon as we're here, we realize it's lovely. Always.
Yeah. And I don't... And in fact, it's interesting, right, that the conversation is always imposing conditions. Because it's that thing we say, you know, if you can get someone to be engaged in something impossible, they'll be busy for the rest of their lives. That to be here does not require any conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
it is
the unconditional.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jen. What are you seeing?
Hey, so I've been working with that one, the responsibility has become an identity that's over invested in what's not mine to take care of. I wrote that one down and keep recording with it because it just, that popped out in that kind of list of questions of what to work with around this. And seeing all the places where I'm so, the conditioning, pushes so much that, I need to, check in with people a whole lot and make sure that they're okay and let them know that I care about them and I remember this detail about their life. And so in like the self-hating, the underlying messages with it over the weekend, it feels like a couple of things. It feels like it goes to, okay, so if I wasn't doing those things anymore, then there's this whole thing, like people would talk about me and say how I used to be so kind and caring and now I've become really selfish and all of this stuff. And then it felt also, I don't know, I wanted to check this out, but it felt like it's that I have to, like in the duality, because it felt like, I think there is a natural impulse or a part of this human that I do enjoy just checking in if it's caring about people if that arises and I want to, but not because I have to show that I'm a caring person,
When you lay that out, can you see how on both sides of that, ego is the center of the universe? So either ego is the right, caring person who remembers all the details and is always checking on people and sending little notes, or ego is the center of everybody's life because they're all talking and thinking about how, yeah? And that's all ego wants, to be the center of everybody's life. Small demand.
Yeah, that's so true. I know, exactly. Yeah, that was helpful to see. Like, right, that's going to be the first thing is everyone's going to have, like, a meeting to talk about this person. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, that's so helpful. I mean, the duality one was so helpful to see. Like, okay, I think there's something, whatever that assignment is, step out of all of that and just see. Like I was with a group of people this weekend virtually, but it was yoga teachers, and there was this woman who has a ton of training and beautiful experiences, but was in this thing that, she needed to take more trainings and do more stuff before she could ever teach. And it felt like it arose in that moment just to offer that I was seeing that for whatever, that was my experience of her was, hey, you have everything you need to go teach now if you want to. But then, so that felt like the place that wasn't a conditional thing. It was just something that
if I may, okay?
Okay,
The underlying assumption in that is that it is up to you to change her experience by telling her your experience.
Yeah, yes. Well,
of her.
Right. And again,
So, If instead you had talked about your experience of that issue,
okay, not even my experience of her or something, but just my experience.
That's
of that
exactly
issue.
Right. Because what difference does your experience of her make? That it will not affect her at all, right? Because as we know, with all of us, it's only our own experience of us that interests us. All of this, even though the voices will include other people, they're just projections. They're just bit players in ego's drama. Yeah?
Okay.
So it makes you feel better to say that kind of thing to somebody, but it's a question whether it's for her that you're saying it or is it for you that you're saying it.
There could be a, back to that conditional feeling good, like, oh, I'm helping her if I offer that or something.
That's right.
Feeds into. Okay, yes. And I definitely, I saw how it got worse because then it was like, today I was like, I should email her and make sure that she's going to take steps to, and then I was like, whoa, okay, this is getting, okay, wait a second. So, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so,
and Jen, it points us at a really important, place for all of us in practice, because what we're conditioned to do is leave the work that we need to be doing to go out there and attempt to do it with everybody else. I mean, it's classic, right? So we don't have to face the fact that we're suffering if we're out there trying to make sure nobody else suffers. But our real opportunity and obligation is to end the suffering in here. And then, after we've ended the suffering for ourselves, see how we want to proceed.
Yes. I was dropping in a lot as I was looking at all these messages. Yeah, like how much more time would be available to attend to something that this human needs help with if I wasn't required to text about everyone's pet surgery? How are you? And oh my gosh, yeah, that's so helpful.
Thank you. and to face the karma, because as long as we're acting it out, we don't have to face it. It's when I talk to people about detox. You know, it's time to go into rehab. Just cut it off. Just don't do that. And then we're in touch with what our actual motivation is. Then we're watching ego go crazy because it's not being fed.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. That was such a helpful conversation, Sherry. The upshot being how helpful has been, helpful is what we need to be in order to maintain you, ego, and we never see it that way, right? We're so our goodness is so bamboozled by being, within quotes, helpful.
That's right. As we were talking about with Colin, our goodness is conditional.
Yes. And maintain.
I have to earn
me.
It. I have to prove it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's all just for ego.
All right, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Diane.
Well, hello, Diane. What are you seeing?
Oh, I'm seeing how, it's the same old thing. The voices are saying the same old thing, but with this one particular
tedious.
Oh, my God, yes. With this one particular content that I've worked on in an email class and with coaching and in previous months in the year-long retreat and then in this month, it's got me. You know, it's like, okay, you're doing the college effort, maybe, but here you are. And so I could use some guidance.
And so here you are. And so I'm guessing that what you're saying is, even though you know everything about it, you've worked on it, you know what the right answer is, and you're still suffering.
Yes.
Okay. So what if you just stopped suffering? But you know what's going on, right? So let's do this. So you and I are, I'm your mother, okay? And we have this kind of difficult relationship, right? In which I am constantly criticizing you. I love you, and so it's in a nice way, of course. But I'm always pointing out to you how you're just not quite there, Diane. It just, you know, if you would just make that little modification, you would be okay. And so, because I'm your mother, you probably suffered over this all your life. I'm not going to change, right? Even after I die, I'm going to be a voice in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what choice do you have in this? Because there's nothing you can do. You can't fix it. You can't change it. You can't make it better. But you can stop suffering over it. You can stop believing it and taking it personally and believing it's serious. Now, this is one I just suggested this to somebody in the email class, right? Which is, you've got to see me as a comedian.
Yep, you've lighten got up and to have start, some sense of humor.
That's right. You've got to start seeing this as a karmic melodrama. This is, why am I your mother? Well, because there are all of these issues that I will be the only one who knows the buttons to push for. So I'm the perfect mother for you. Right? And when you get to the point where you have a sense of humor about me and what I'm saying, you'll be free. And that's the only way you'll be free.
Okay.
Can you picture it?
I can kind of picture it. The other thing that ego does is like, okay, you're not getting it this month, so we can use this in any of the month focuses and keep at it, which is good. But it's the same thing that was just dropping in as you were talking is, well, I can record this and listen to it again and again, and maybe I'll get it then.
Well, there's nothing to get, right? There's nothing to get. People get offended at comedians because they take what the comedian is saying seriously. Okay, but if we look at my lack of sense of humor about this, I can see something about myself, right? I can see where ego has me, and that's the assignment. Because when you see the issue as funny, and egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is always a joke. Okay? And when you position yourself in that way, you'll be free of this. Not, okay, you can keep working on it. Nope. Why keep working on it? Why keep working on it? It's a joke.
Okay.
All right. Now, you don't sound convinced, but you're going to keep me posted on how you're doing, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to go back and record this, and I'm going to listen to it over and over, and that will be helpful.
Good. 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 Good job. All right. Thank you, Diane.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Diane. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of a lovely show. Our assignment for today, the self-hating message is that as we are not enough. Enough for what?
Ooh.
What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment. What does self-hate say you are missing? RL, what you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Very fun. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.